Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Just another big Wednesday in the big city. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. The Mets get set for a Game 3 of the NLCS. We'll talk about that later on. Andrew Thomas is done for the season. Plus, the Giants are dealing with other significant injuries we'll get to as the show rolls on. And Saquon Barkley is a delusional, sad, sad man. A lot to get to, but I'm ashamed of all of you. I'm ashamed of Met fans, and I'm damn well ashamed of Yankee fans. Because here's the reality, and if I have to be the voice of reason, I'll be the voice of reason. If I have to be the IBO, I'll be the IBO. Met fans, let me start with you. Shut up. All right? Shut. Don't judge the New York Yankees. They've got nothing to do with you. The Yankees are up 2-0. I wish we were up 2-0. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter how you're playing. It doesn't matter how the opponent's playing. The Yankees are 4-1. Hold on. 5-1 in the postseason. That's number one. So Met fans, stop being douchey. Yankee fans, what happened to you people? Where's your arrogance? I grew up hating you. I grew up despising the Yankee fan because, man, you guys were so cocky. If there is ever a moment to remember who the hell you are, that moment is now. You are steamrolling the American League. And I don't want to hear about how flawed the Guardians are. Who cares? We're not doing sports talk radio in Cleveland. Who gives a rat's ass that Brian Rocchio can't catch a pop-up? Why is that my problem? Why is that your problem? Spoiler alert, it isn't. The Yankees have lost one postseason game. They are 5-1. They are two wins away from a World Series appearance for the first time since the first Obama administration. So, Yankee fans, if there's ever been a time in the last decade and a half to remember who you are and scream from the loudest building, we're the mother bleeping New York Yankees, this is your moment. Stop getting caught up in, well, we had all these guys on base from the first inning and we didn't score. Who cares? You won! I'm losing my mind listening to Yankee fans because you're not arrogant enough. Listening to Met fans, I expect it. We're just bitter, crazy people, even though we shouldn't be bitter. We're in the NLCS. The Yankees are steamrolling to the American League pennant. This should be the time of your life.
I see what's happening here. You see it, Sean?
A little bit, yeah.
I see what's happening here. Evan, For no apparent reason, I thought you were starting the show with all rise, but you were saying, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were all rise. You're going that way already? You're setting up the Yankee fan.
No, I'm not.
You are trying to get the Yankee fan hyped. You want the Yankee fan to be, we are the best. We are now the new, or back to the evil empire. That's what you want them to do. Because what you know could potentially happen is they get to the World Series, face the Mets, and then lose, just like they did
in the Subway Series. Let me tell you right now.
So you're just waiting to build up the Yankee fan.
No.
Because the taller you are, the harder you fall.
No.
The higher the perch is, the less stable it is atop it.
No.
That's all you're trying to do.
Absolutely
wrong. The Yankee fan has seen through it all. He's not taking it from a Met fan.
No.
He's not taking it from anybody. The Yankee fans just can't. The Yankee fan, me, Sean, anybody else, just be quietly confident that we are exactly what you just said we are.
First of all, Tiki, I love you. You're wrong about everything you said. Let me start with one thing.
How am I wrong?
Because the Mets are irrelevant to this, all right? I'm not thinking about the World Series. The Mets have a lot of work to do against the L.A. Dodgers, and we'll break them down later. So even though I'm wearing a Mets shirt, and you see that Met logo as I spelt this, the Mets have nothing to do with it. And also, Sean Morash is the one guy that I'm not mad at. Because Sean Morash showed some stones last night on social media.
Oh, what did you tweet?
By arrogantly taking the broom out and trying to sweep up the Cleveland Guardians. And that's the kind of arrogance that the Yankee fan should have. So I'm not mad at Sean. I'm mad at everybody else. And here's what I'm mad about. Because it really has nothing to do with Mets Yankees. As much as guys like Tiki want to make it that. And I respect that. You can make it as much as you want. I don't understand in October. Because I'm not used to October. October's a weird kind of phenomenon for me. I don't understand parsing postseason victories and apologizing for them. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Who's apologizing?
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry we didn't blow you out, Cleveland.
The Guardians are this. The Guardians are so freaking irrelevant to your enthusiasm. If they make errors, they make errors. If they don't pitch well, they don't pitch well. If Jose Ramirez chokes in the playoffs, Jose Ramirez chokes in the playoffs. That is not a Yankee problem. And I feel like, tell me if I'm wrong here, I've heard way too much over the last few days, not just from Met fans being haters, but from Yankee fans almost apologizing for their road to an American League championship.
Well, that's because
it's irrelevant.
Well, no, it's because everybody keeps saying how easy the road is. And so if the road is so easy, then we're not going to brag about it. We're not going to talk about how impressive it is that we beat the, you know, that we're beating the Cleveland Indians. I mean, the Guardians. We're not going to talk about it because you get mocked for saying, well, look how great we are. We're dominating the American League. And then people just turn around and say, well, who'd you have to go through?
Well, they're stupid for saying that.
Of course.
I
got
to be honest with you. It's a dumb thing to say.
So it's better to just not engage it and just confidently go on through the next this current series and into the next level. That way, we can't be too high when you Met fans, if you ultimately get there, try to stop chopping us
down. But it doesn't have anything to do with, to me, the Mets.
It has
to
do with now. But 2 weeks from now,
I'm at 2 weeks. I'm at the fact that the Yankees have a chance to go somewhere they haven't been in 15 years.
Just because you got to sweat it out for 2 weeks.
Again,
the Yankee fan wants to sweat it out for 2 weeks.
I'm irrelevant to this. This has nothing to do with the Mets. This has to do with apologizing for who you're beating.
I don't understand.
I'm sick of it, dude.
I don't understand why you think the Yankee fan needs to beat his chest for beating a team they're supposed to beat.
No, I think you, first of all, see, that's the problem. The team they're supposed to be.
But aren't
they? Okay, it doesn't matter. They're about to go to the World Series. They're 2 wins away from the World Series.
Right.
Instead of parsing who they're
When they win two more games, and they'll start beating their chests and popping bottles.
Well,
that's how it works.
Or you could take out a broom 2 games in.
And by the way,
Sean just likes to do that because he wanted to, you know, he likes to keep clean.
And I was trying on my wife's wigs, which was nice. Look, Evan, a couple things are true here, all right? Yes, I got a little arrogant last night, but I also told you before the series I thought they would sweep Cleveland. Is that arrogance or being honest? Because that's the way I evaluated it. But a funny thing happened along the way, and I know that this isn't you and you don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets' presence in this town.
Why do you guys keep bringing up the Mets?
Can you let me finish?
I'm not talking about the Mets. I'm talking about a team
I promise you.
And hold on. And everyone's apologizing for what they're accomplishing because, well, the Guardians are in the AL Central. Who cares?
Here's the reality, and this is what Sean, I think, is getting to. You're looking looking at it through a Met lens.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at it through an IBO lens like I always do. Where am I wrong?
Evan.
The Yankees are winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter if you're making mistakes. It doesn't matter if they're making mistakes. I would never apologize if my team was winning. I never have. So you guys can choose.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And I respect it. I understand I have to fight this fight every day. I'll fight it. You can choose to hear me through a Met fan, but if you actually close your eyes and hear what I'm saying, I'm an IBO.
I know.
I'm going to be the only IBO around here. It doesn't matter who you beat. It doesn't matter how you beat them. It doesn't matter what their record was. It doesn't matter where it stands in baseball history. Get to a World Series. And that's what the Yankees are accomplishing, and nobody should apologize for it. And if you do, you're sad.
All right. I promise I'm going to make sense. Let me
now go bring up the Mets. Go ahead.
Let me say the word Mets without you interrupting me and what I mean.
Because it's triggering me because I'm not, I
just
swear
hear me out. I
to
promise.
The baseball gods. I swear to Lou Gehrig himself. What I'm saying has nothing to do
all right.
with the New York Mets. It has everything to do with winning, which
okay.
you're doing. Now I'm going to shut my mic off.
Okay. Here are two things that have happened along the way. Number one, I could speak as a Yankee fan that grew up and lived that whole dynasty, got the 09 adult championship, and now here we are 15 years later. I know this is hard for people to believe. It's taken us a while to get our mojo and our arrogance back, and we've been humbled as a fan base with the dashed expectations and the loss to the Astros. And I think as each game that passes, we're still have a little bit, if we're being honest about Yankee fans, a little bit of stunningness on, oh my God, is this really finally happening again?
Yeah. That's a good answer, by the way.
And I think that's there.
I totally get that.
Okay, so I think that's part of it. And I'm starting to get it back a little bit. Last night, I was like, all right, now like I'm buying in.
Right, Judge finally.
Finally hits, right? You're starting to see those things. Here's where the Mets do have something to do with it, okay? We share real estate here with fan bases, right? You live next to them, you may live with them and everything. The Mets got a jump start on the postseason playing the wild card round, and you guys have been full of the OMG stuff and everything, and I think a lot of that stuff has been fun, and I truly love the idea of both of these teams going at it. But I think the Met fan has absorbed the Yankee arrogance in many ways, and I think we are observing how the Met fan, not all, but plenty, have acted and behaved, and whether you like it or not, fun has twisted to arrogance with the Mets. For the first time, the Met fan is believing, and I know I feel this way, and I could tell you there's a couple of the Yankee fans I talked to this way, are watching Met fan behavior going, That's kind of disgusting. I don't want to do that. And I think we're letting you guys take all the arrogance mantle while we kind of quietly snicker and understand and laugh at how dominant the Yankees have been.
I can see that.
There's not room for two arrogance. You guys could be the arrogant ones.
We're not the arrogant ones.
Well, Evan?
Most Met fans, I can't speak for all Met fans. I can speak for myself. We are scared of our own shadows.
There's a vocal arrogance from plenty of Met fans right now that the Yankee fan didn't start the playoffs first. You guys were first to that table. We're watching you from afar. And as we're starting to believe now, we're going, I don't want to act like them.
Yes.
So we're letting you guys do all the arrogant talking. By the way, if we see each other in 2 weeks, I give you a lot of credit.
Very creative with what you said. Yeah. I think the first part of what you said about almost not trusting this team completely, I kind of understand. So let me tell you some things on why, as an IBO, even though you will all roll your eyes and
you're
say, I'm not
about
an IBO.
Trusting the Yankees.
Yeah, trusting the Yankees. Again, I'm not talking about the Mets. You guys keep bringing it up.
Huh.
I'll tell you why, as an IBO, you should trust the New York Yankees, despite all the flaws that everybody wants to bring up. The New York Yankees have played 6 postseason games. Mm-hmm. They have won 5 of them. They have pitched to a 2.50 ERA.
Right.
They are pitching their asses off.
Right.
Even on a night like last night where Gerrit Cole struggled. I raised my hand. I was stunned by that, especially with the way he looked in the first inning and really first 2 innings of the game.
A little chilly.
Maybe the chill had something to do with it. He struggled. He threw a lot of pitches, and I was with Booney on when he took him out of this game. Despite that, the bullpen comes in, whether it's Clay Holmes, whether it's Tim Hill, whether it's Tommy Canley. I know Leek Weaver finally gave up a run, and they shoved. The Yankees are pitching at a really high level. So despite, well, the offense isn't clicking, the base running is stupid, things like that, if you pitch to this level, you're going to win. And that's something I'd be proud of. That's something I'd be confident about. And that's something I wouldn't parse the Gordian lineup to try to explain.
But it's also not something to brag about.
Why? Having a 2.5 ERA in the postseason? That's what Yankee fans have been dreaming about for years.
Because what happened with Carlos Rodon against the Royals could also happen. Like that's why you don't brag about it. Because you set yourself up to just be grossly disappointed if something bad should happen. Now, look, were we worried about Gerrit Cole? Absolutely. He just didn't feel like himself. Mm. It's funny because what we were talking about Carlos Rodon yesterday, how steely he was and how dialed in and focused. He's getting 4-pitch strikeouts, some of them 3-pitch strikeouts, just dominant. We expected that Cole, who I'm assuming coached Rodon on that, was going to be the same way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And so the last thing you want to do is be cocky in those moments because something bad can easily happen. And so what you do is you just sit confidently and trust your stars. And luckily, the Yankees have a bunch of them, including Aaron Judge, who finally woke up in a home run. But Gleyber Torres, he's been fantastic.
Yep.
Rizzo, even though he bumped out of the last yesterday or
game one, he
game cannot, one yeah. on Monday's game, he's hitting .400.
Yeah, had 2 more hits last night.
So it's like, just do what you do. No need to talk about it. Just do what you
do. Well, we do have to talk about it. It's kind of what we do.
Don't brag about it. Don't brag about it.
It feels good.
Need.
It feels good as a fan base.
It feels good to feel confident
yes.
and not have to over-talk yourself to lift yourself.
It's not over-talking yourself. It's respecting what your own team is doing. Mm. The opponent does not matter. I want to make that very, very clear. It does not matter. Now, if we're sitting at a bar 10 years from now and we're debating, hey, which championship was more impressive? That Yankee 2024 or the Met one from 2027, right? Let's say that happens. And yeah, I bring up, well, my road was tougher. Well, no, your road. That's fine for like bar talk years after the fact. But in the moment, it does not matter about how flawed your opponents are. What matters is if you're doing enough to win. And right now, we are 5 games into the Yankees postseason. They are doing enough to win. Mm. Have they been perfect? No. Have they been flawless? No. Are there guys and individuals who can be better? Of course. And yet, they're still 5-1.
Right.
And yet, they still are 2 wins away from a World Series appearance for the first time in 15 years. So when I say I want to hear that Yankee arrogance again, I guess more than anything, I don't want to hear you apologizing. I don't want to hear you bitching or complaining. Like, yeah, you want to be better at everything, but they're winning. And we haven't seen this from the Yankees in a very long time. When was the last time the Yankees were two wins away from a championship? Or from a World Series appearance, to be more accurate? It's been a while. You got to go back to Houston in 2019, and guess what? The opponent was one win away from a World Series appearance. Same thing if you go back to 2017. They're up 2-0. They're in full command. Now, I warn you, because I've watched enough baseball to know things can change quickly. That's why you don't apologize for your opponent. In fact, can I take you on a ride to just 1 year ago? 1 year ago, the Philadelphia Phillies were up 2-0 on the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Thanks, Jeff Francoeur.
He's right. And people in Philadelphia said, the Diamondbacks, they stink. They're flawed. They're lucky. Beat them.
Right.
It doesn't matter how flawed you think they are. Beat them. And the New York Yankees are in position to beat this team. Hearing about the Guardians' flaws is such a waste of time. It means nothing. It's irrelevant. And it bothers me to hear Yankee fans.
I think you're listening to the broadcast talking about the Guardians' flaws.
No, I'm talking to Yankee fans and Mets fans. I listen to the people in my own city, whether it's people on my text chat or people on social media. I hear it, and I'm sick of it. Stop ripping your opponent. Just beat your opponent.
So far,
they're doing that.
Every team has flaws. That idea needs to get punted out. Met fans, nobody should apologize for not the Dodgers don't have the same pitching they had all year long and that they're flawed. Or that Trey Turner couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and that he was flawed.
I agree with you.
Or that you played the Milwaukee freaking Brewers in the first round.
Not my problem.
Again, nobody should apologize for any of this. And oh, by the way, I don't know. We just lived it with the town we hate, Boston. Should the Celtics apologize for the road they had to a championship?
Yes, they should.
A parade is a parade.
By the way, and I'm glad you made that comparison because I remember from afar after the Celtics won the NBA title, we'd make comments. So, that was the easiest road to a championship. But I would always follow that by saying, yeah, we can analyze that from afar, but that parade's going to hit the exact same way.
Of course.
Now, I don't know. I haven't been at a parade for my own team, but I'm going to make an assumption that if you win a World Championship and the New York Yankees are 6 wins away from doing that, the Mets are 7 wins away from doing that, it does not matter who you beat. It does not matter how many mistakes you make along the way. It does not matter who your opponent is. What matters is that you win. And credit to Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees that they find themselves 2 wins away from accomplishing that. Do not apologize for being where you are. And if I've got to be the one to say it, I'll be the one to say it. Because the reality is the Yankees are pitching their asses off. Their bullpen has been unbelievable. Last night, the Guardians had a million opportunities. And instead of looking at it as, well, you know, David Fry swung at the first pitch, I don't look at it that way. You know what I look at it as? Gerrit Cole made a big freaking pitch. That's how I look at it. You want to go to Cleveland? Fine. That's how they're going to break it down. They'll break down the fact that Austin Hedges struck out with the bases loaded. I break down the fact that Clay Holmes came into a baseball game in a very tough spot and right away got Will Brennan to ground out. The Yankees are doing their job.
Exactly.
And now they got to finish it.
And the Yankee fan is confident in them doing their job. Just because other fan bases, including yours, are talking about the Yankees doesn't mean that the Yankee fan is listening or cares. They're confident. They believe that they're supposed to go to the next level, and they will.
I think they're on their way. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Now, for the Met fans out there, coming up this hour, we are going to give you a chance to be in the building for Game 4 of the National League Championship Series. You will hear a sound. The sound will be very obvious. Oh, my God. Maybe it's that. And when you hear that, you call in, and you got a chance to go to Game 4 of the NLCS. I've said for the last few days that when Ohtani comes to town, I want to hear Met fans really go after him verbally in a classy way. So the idea I had was, where's your bookie? I'd go with a where's your bookie chant. I'm not saying it's the greatest idea in the world. I'm just saying it's the one that sticks. I have to commend the Yankee fan. And I know that there are going to be some people that are going to be offended by this. So I warn you, you may be offended. But I have heard that in the bleachers last night at Yankee Stadium.
You're already laughing.
No, because I thought it was really good. I love a good creative chant that doesn't involve curse words because I think it's lazy.
Right.
Like, no offense, Yankee fans, I'm about to put you over. When you did the F. Altuve chant, doesn't do it for me.
Boring.
Nick fans with F. Trae Young, doesn't do it for me. You got to be creative. So apparently, Josh Naylor, who's got amazing career numbers against Gerrit Cole, but also, I want to be fair, very punchable face. Much like Kiki Hernandez of the Dodgers, Josh Naylor. Would you agree with that, Sean? Punchable face for Naylor?
Extremely punchable face. It's more his smirk.
Yeah, he's got that smirk, right? So everyone in right field started chanting,
Ozempic. Ozempic. Ozempic.
And Josh Naylor.
Why?
Because he's fat.
Oh, man. I know. It's not nice.
I stand up for fat people. Oh, that's not nice. Man.
So that crossed the line, really?
Yeah. No.
That one's a little rough, man.
Oh, man, now I feel bad for laughing. I thought it was funny. It's good-natured, man. There's a difference between, like, bleep you and things like that. We're just smiling. We're having a good time. Why can't we have a good time with that?
I mean,
I would have gone bleep Josh Naylor.
Right. It's bad. He's probably fit fat.
I'm sure. Look, he's a major leaguer who had a lot of home runs this year.
He, not probably. He is fit fat.
Okay.
He has to be.
So we can't mock it.
He's just big boned. Leave me alone. I'm big boned.
But that's not the point. It's not parsing if he's in shape or not. It's, does that make you smile? Like, I smiled when I heard it. I thought that was creative. And to the bleacher creatures out there, even if Sean and Tiki don't approve, I approve.
Oh, gosh.
I like that. That's some creativity. And we'll see if the Met fans can bring it tonight with the L.A. Dodgers in town. Let's go to Greg in Manasquan. How are you, Greg?
What's up, Greg?
What's going on?
All's well.
What's going on?
Great topic for today. You guys with the arrogance, the last time they won was 09. That was coming up on 16 years ago. And prior to that, the 90s run is over 24 to 28 years ago.
Right.
You have a whole generation of kids now that don't have that arrogance, you know? And I'm a huge Yankee fan, but right. The Mets are more
I think you're right about that, Greg. I think you're absolutely right about that. The younger generation doesn't feel it because they're not bragging about it. At least not. I mean, they know the history, but they're not bragging about it because they didn't live it.
Because we haven't won.
Yes.
And the Mets look really, really exciting. Like Lindor crashing home runs to win it and everything. The Yankees, I'm beside myself because I can't believe they keep winning.
See, this is a great example. This is a great example from Greg, who's an older Yankee fan. I respect that. He basically called Sports Talk Radio to apologize for the Yankees being two wins away from the World Series. Think about that. Think about what he just said. Like, I don't know. I just can't believe it. We haven't won in a long time. What Greg wanted to go on and say, and I think this is part of the problem with some Yankee fans, not all, but some, and I think Greg's a great example, is he just hates Brian Cashman. And hates Aaron Boone. Everything to do with it. It's a part of the lack of trust that a guy like Greg has. Here are the facts. No matter what you think about Brian Cashman and what you think about Aaron Boone, and this is what you need to follow, and this is where I think Greg is mistaken. You are two wins away from the World Series. Hmm. You are better than your opponent. I think we all probably agree with that. You're destined for it. You feel like you're good enough for it.
Yes.
So instead of apologizing or saying, I don't know how they're doing it, it's understandable how they're doing it. They're better. They're the best team in the American League. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're pitching their butts off. Their bullpen's outstanding. Juan Soto is a very tough out to the point where last night we saw Steven Vogt walk him ahead of Aaron Judge, which shows you how good he is.
Yeah, by the way, that's just straight disrespect for Aaron Judge.
So here's my question.
It's just so disrespectful.
Here's my question to all of you, because as the baseball geek, that was my favorite part of the game, as an IBO.
Yeah.
I sit there and I say, okay, what do we think about this? And don't take this as disrespect towards Aaron Judge, because don't attack me. You've been attacking me a lot today, Tiki.
I'm not. I'm just telling you.
I think that was an absolute no-brainer move by Steven Vogt, because he's Juan Soto.
I don't disagree.
But he's also locked in.
But it's also, and Aaron Judge, kind of up to that point, hasn't necessarily been.
Exactly.
And so I'm not saying it was disrespectful in that. It was stupid. I'm saying it was disrespectful because you're walking the bases loaded to get to Aaron Judge. Now, he delivered with a sack fly, but still, it's just like he easily could have made broke the game open. It's all done. And I'm actually glad that later in the game he hit a home run, because it makes you forget that he got disrespected.
Well, you know what I mean? And it's also weird, like, Aaron Judge effectively got the job done after the intentional walk.
Yes.
If we're being fair, he's behind in the count on a very tough reliever in Cade Smith, which I'm sure every loyal Evan and Tiki listener thought about. They thought about us when he came in.
You ruined him for me.
Totally.
Because Sean's like, Cade Smith? Cade Smith? No, Cade Smith. He's one of the best relievers in baseball. So Stephen Vogt did like this really hardcore baseball move that I loved. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk Juan Soto for Aaron Judge. I'm going to go to my best reliever in the second inning of a baseball game because I can't afford to let this thing get any more out of hand. It's already 2-0. And we didn't get like the ultimate conclusion. You know, when Lindor was walked for Vientos and Mark admitted he was bothered
by it.
Yeah,
he was upset.
He got the ultimate bleep you back because he had a grand slam. There's one of two things that can happen. Either Aaron Judge responds with a ringing double up the alley or a grand slam of his own, or he strikes out, pops up, grounds into a double play. We effectively got a draw. Because when you get a sacrifice fly, Cade Smith is probably thinking to himself, you know what? I kind of did my job. I got him out. And if you're a Yankee fan,
I'll take that.
You're also probably saying, like, what was your reaction, Sean, when Judge hit the sack fly?
I mean, I was thrilled for him. I mean, he got the run home, and I kind of thought, okay, this is a continuation of him getting going.
Yes.
But I wasn't, like, upset that it was just a
sack fly. Nor were you thrilled.
Well, no.
It was in the middle.
It was in the middle. It was like, okay, you got the job done, but it wasn't the ultimate job.
Which is why I was glad he hit a home run later. Because it made me forget about the fact that he could have done what all the Mets seem to do when the bases get loaded in critical moments, which is hit a home run, hit a grand slam. He didn't, but he kind of got he got his due later in the game.
Yeah, and this is why a part of why the Yankees are so damn good, even if Yankee fans feel like weird and uncomfortable admitting it, you have a baseball player on your team that is so good and so locked in at times that a pretty good manager decided, I'm going to walk him to face a guy who hit 58 home runs during the season.
Who's winning the MVP.
Who's the lock MVP.
Right. I'm walking a player to get to the MVP.
Like, keep this in mind.
It's just ballsy.
It's ballsy, but it was a no-brainer. Like, I'm watching this game, and I'm saying, you have to do it. And again, it's not because Aaron Judge is slumping per se.
Yeah.
It's because Juan Soto's that good. It's because you have a guy on your team that's so freaking good that it's actually a good decision for a manager to say, I'm going to walk him to face that guy. And that's a testament to how dangerous the New York Yankees are. That despite people not being thrilled with performances, and despite Aaron Judge not breaking out yet till the home run in the seventh inning, they're 5-1 because they can beat you in a lot of different ways.
You know the happiest person was with that intentional walk? Scott Boras.
Why?
Because he looked at it and said, now he can turn to the Yankees. They're walking Soto to get the Judge.
Listen, man. Let me tell you something about Juan Soto's free agency. Scott Boras doesn't have to actually speak.
Right.
Fair.
Scott Boras can, I have a phrase, I'm not going to use it, but basically put it on the table.
Yeah.
And say, fill it out! I mean, that's all he can do. I saw that sign at Yankee Stadium the other day. I wonder if the kid is listening. A kid made a sign for the Yankee game of a fake...
Blank check.
Blank check.
Oh,
no, it was not blank. The check wrote out $600 million.
Right. 600, I did see that.
And I'm thinking, kid, you sure changed them. Because I've said this to you before, I think he's going to get $700 million.
Jeez.
I really do. He's that good of a player, and I think that that intentional walk, that little simple moment in the second inning, is a reminder of his greatness, that he's so good and so locked in and so scary and so good that the Guardian said, we'd rather face that guy than this guy, which is amazing. Ed is in East Islip. What's up, Ed?
Hey, fellas. How's it going? All right?
All's well.
Good, man. What's up?
Listen, I have 2 points. Please let me get both out. You kind of hit the nail on the head before. You know, the Yankees and the Mets have not been good together, essentially, since 2000. And since 2000, the world has completely changed with this thing that I'm calling you from at my ear. The group text.
The
Twitter. The whole thing. All people do is have time now just to throw shade and try to one-up one another.
If you
weren't standing in front of the water cooler.
So true.
I try to be as independent as possible. I am a Yankee fan, but I can understand why Met fans want to try to downplay the Yankees' success right now. They don't want us around. Think about it. I'm a loser Jets fan. If we made it to the AFC Championship and the Giants made it to the AFC Championship, I would be so pissed that we don't have the stage to ourselves.
That's
and
well said,
if we ever made the Super Bowl, for God's sake, and the Giants were there,
I agree.
I would be really pissed that we just don't have it to ourselves.
I think that's a great point. Before you continue, Ed, I have said that for many, many years, and I don't dislike the New York Giants at all. I hope Tiki trusts me on that for the year plus we've worked together. Mm-hmm. But I'm honest with you. If the Jets were in the AFC title game and the Giants were about to get there, I'd be rooting passionately against them because I don't want to share the city.
I mean, I get that. I understand it as well. But it's actually what you really like crave is the chance to own your city, but do it by beating the other team.
I don't crave them. I know, I understand that, and I'm sure a lot of people do. It's not something I've craved. I just want to win.
It's funny because when as a non-native New Yorker coming from Virginia, I never understood the Giant Jet rivalry.
Right.
Because we played in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, we played this meaningless game that was pumped up to be something important. I'm like, dude, I'm only going to play for like 5 plays, like 10 plays or whatever it's going to be. Why is there such a big deal? And to me, the only thing that mattered was if we both are in the Super Bowl. It's the only time it's going to really matter. I mean, every 4 years or whatever it is now you play, but that's still kind of a meaningless game. So why not try to experience that?
No, but like,
and it's more likely to happen in baseball, obviously, because it's already happened, but it's just, I don't know. I just never understood.
But because it's not a rivalry. To Ed's point, Ned, I promise we'll let you make your second point. To Ed's point,
no,
it's not about.
Boys, I made them both with the cell phone and with the Jets and Ned.
Oh, yeah. All right. Then get the hell out of here. Thank you. I left him on.
I thought he was way too. I was like, wait.
He was, because when someone calls in and says, please, please let me make the 2 points.
But he made the first point with the cell phone quickly.
Yeah.
And it was such a good point. Yeah. And they're like, oh, of course. I mean, that's annoying. I'm on the Mets chat now. And all they do is bitch and moan about things that aren't finished yet.
That's a good point.
Oh, this Mets team, they suck. Oh, good job, boys. We won.
That is a well description of the Mets chat. Just bitch, bitch, bitch. Yay, we won. Bitch, bitch, bitch. Yay, we won. To clarify. And I want to use Jets Giants because this Met Yankee thing is just insane. Meanwhile, we still both have business to take care of.
Right.
Why can't we be separate? We're not, because every time the Mets are talked about, the Yankees, and every time the Yankees, the Mets. So I use Jets Giants to make the point. I think it's a better point. There is not a rivalry necessarily between the Jets and the Giants, but what Ed is saying, and I feel the exact same way, is while I don't dislike the Giants, I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely, Sunday at 1 o'clock, I hope you whip the Eagles' ass. I'm looking into your eyes when I say this. Both of you guys as Giant fans, I hope you kick their ass.
So do we.
There's no sarcasm. There's no trolling. That's true. Okay? When you made the playoffs 2 years ago, I rooted for you guys against the Vikings. I had no issue.
Right.
But if there was that moment where the stage can become the Jets and the Giants are fighting to share it, I'd say, I want you out of there. I want you out of there so I can have it all to myself. And so I can see that amongst Met and Yankee fans as well. But it's okay to separate and be honest. What I'm doing, whether you believe it or not, is separating and being honest. The Yankees are playing good enough to win every playoff game they play. They're pitching their asses off and destroying their opponents or destroying their own play to minimize it because you secretly hate Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman as a Yankee fan. It's pointless. Just win the games in front of you. And they're doing a really good job of doing that. And that's why they're 2 wins away from a World Series. Is this series over? No. Baseball's a crazy game.
Yep.
We saw that with the Diamondbacks last year. But you have to feel very good about what you've been able to accomplish over the last couple of days.
Yeah, first of all, I do think it's over. Second of all, I actually think last night was the most impressive win of the postseason as well. Because when you let Cleveland come back like that 3-2, the Yankees, again, and the ability in those late innings to add on, and that Judge homer, and you walk away 6-2, give Weaver the breathing room, he gives up the homer to Ramirez. Last night felt like a complete win, even if they left a lot of meat on the bone early in the game, the Jazz getting picked off late. But the ability to add on and not let that game stay tense, because they had Class A lurking that could have pitched 2 innings.
Yep.
I think that was just a great way to win a game for the Yankees.
I want to ask you guys a question. So, in my scorebook, I have a star of the game. I always write down a star of the game. I am very passionate about who the star of the game was last night. Very passionate.
I know.
You want to guess who it was?
It's Clay Holmes.
You said Clay Holmes. It's a good guess. He was considered. It was not him. Go ahead.
Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo, good guess. Didn't even consider him. No.
Huh. Kleber.
The answer is Tim Hill.
Tim Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely mean it. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. So when Clay Holmes fights through that fifth inning, which was huge.
Which he had to finish for Cole because Cole bounced early.
That's right. And he comes into a very tricky spot, gets the ground out or run scores, walks Andrés Giménez, and then a huge strikeout over Austin Hedges. It's a 3-2 game going into the bottom of the fifth. Yankees don't score. Now it's the top of the sixth. 3-2. To Sean's point, it's a game. And you're not going to the best of your bullpen. You're going to Tim Hill, who looks like, what does he look like? A plumber? A carpenter?
Ken Carmen works in Cleveland. Had the bet. He looks like one of his aunt's boyfriends growing up.
Okay. Ken Carmen's aunt's boyfriend. A mailman. Whatever you want to say Timmy Hill looks like. Tim Hill had to face the top of the order. And he just, no problem. He faces Jose Ramirez in the seventh. No problem. He faces Josh Ozempic Naylor. What was the chant they did again?
Ozempic.
Ozempic Naylor. Uh-huh. No problem. Timmy Hill. And that's when you know you have a season.
Yeah.
When Tim Hill comes in and gets the five biggest outs.
I think we have a new nickname for him, too. Creepy Peralta. He's replaced Wandy Peralta and looks really weird.
Creepy Peralta?
Tim Hill?
Yeah. He doesn't look a little creepy to you guys? Come on.
He's got a porn stash.
If Tim Hill didn't wear a Yankee uniform and he was sitting there shaking a glass with a drink at a bar, would you go near him or would you stay away from
him? If he was hanging out near a park, you'd have to call the authorities. I mean, he's got a weird stash.
Be honest, it doesn't mean he's not a bad guy.
Great guy.
As a radio station and as a radio show, we need to apologize to Tim Hill and his family. So over the last 2 days, here are some of the things that have been said about Tim Hill, who does nothing but pitch well and also seems like a great guy.
And I love that he's a side arm. Like, he's down there. Yeah. He's down low.
Yeah, we love that. Yesterday, there was implications, all fan fiction, by the way, that Juan Soto slept with Tim Hill's fictitious sister.
Hey, where'd that come from?
I don't even know if he has a sister.
The mouth of Evan Roberts.
That did come from me, but we admitted we're joking, we're writing fan fiction. So, Tim Hill's sister's been accused of sleeping with a Yankee. Mm-hmm. And then today, basically, Sean says he's creepy looking, and Lugie says if you saw him at a playground, you'd run.
Oh, come on. Don't make us the bad guys. Are we all admitting that? He looks weird.
I was going to say Joe Dirt when you first talked about him, if you've seen that movie. He's got that stash going. He just needs the trucker hat.
And that's what Michael
But it's cool. You want your relievers to look that way,
Joe,
by the way.
Joe Dirt. Hey. Don't turn it up, son. It's dirt.
When we were growing up in the 90s, that's how relievers looked. They looked like guys that hung out till 3 a.m. drinking beers.
Right, that's right.
They probably were.
And he smoked Marlboros in the dugout.
They probably did that, too.
And ultimately, he's getting the job done. So, Tim Hill, I hope you enjoyed your 3 minutes of fame here on WFAN. Poor guy. Oh, God. Let's go to Greg in Westchester. What's up, Greg?
Hey, I just want to chime in on, there was another caller named Greg who was talking about young Yankee fans not knowing their winning ways. I'm an older Met fan who happens to have a young son, and let me tell you, there's not a 9 to 12-year-old who gets in my car for carpooling and soccer and baseball that doesn't know the number 27 and won't hesitate 1 second to rub it in your face. I hear it all the time. They're just as obnoxious as their older brethren.
He's kind of right about that, in that even if you're young and you don't remember the 90s or even 2009, you do know 27. You know that number. Because think about it. When I was in high school,
right,
that number was 24 or 23. Mm-hmm. They still talked about it. Meanwhile, they didn't remember 1953 against the Brooklyn Dodgers. They didn't remember 1962 against the San Francisco Giants. They didn't remember 77 and 78 against the LA Dodgers. And yet when I was in high school, Tiki to a T.
We got 25 titles, 24 titles, 26 titles.
Whatever the number was.
But I heard that. I heard that when I first got here. People were still
saying. Of course you did.
And it was like, okay, what does that even mean?
It means
I had to process it because I wasn't from here. And it's like, what are they even talking about?
Yeah.
Get those guys off the back page.
Tiki's still bitter about that.
Oh, yeah.
The Yankees took a lot of back pages away from Tiki and the Giants.
He still sold plenty of Thunder and Lightning shirts in that parking lot.
That is true.
Yeah, we did.
Marty's in Hoboken. How you doing, Marty?
Yeah, in the 90s, you know, worked on Wall Street, lived in Hoboken, and they killed it. The Yankees killed it. And the Steeler, I'm a Steeler fan as well. Ugh. So between the two teams, I got this vibe. And I really think the Yankees are winning the World Series. No question in my mind.
And the Steelers,
Russell Wilson's coming in. Look out.
That second part, though, is a little tough. Like, as a Steeler fan, you want Russell Wilson starting after Justin Fields has basically done the job to start the year?
No chance. I think it's what Sean said yesterday, that Mike Tomlin's just playing games to make Olberg prepare.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I get why a coach does that. By the way, I give our last caller a lot of credit. The New York Yankees have a damn good shot to win a world championship. A damn good shot. They've got the lockdown ace in Gerrit Cole. They've got a bullpen pitching better than any other bullpen. And oh, by the way, they've got three monsters in the middle of their order that I know if I'm an opponent, and hopefully I will be. Mm-hmm. Hopefully next week I can give you that perspective as an opponent. Three guys I wouldn't want to face in Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Giancarlo Stanton. Though I will say, Aaron, if you're listening, Aaron Boone. I know when you're winning, you don't want to make changes because you don't feel like you have to, right? Because you're winning all the time. You got to flip-flop Giancarlo and Austin Wells. That's a thing, bro. That's a thing because I'm telling you right now, once Judge heats up, and I think he's starting to heat up, why would you ever face him with Austin Wells on deck? Giancarlo Stanton put the fear in God of you.
Yeah, it's true. Wells fell closer last night, though.
Did he? When he struck out in the first inning, he fell close?
Yeah. After
when he struck out in the second inning, he fell close?
He had that hard
when
fly
When he had a foul
out.
Pop up in the fifth inning, he fell close?
But he was fouling those off hard. He was starting to see the ball well. I think Wells is close here. And the Yankees are going to be all together ready to go in the World Series. By the way, very important numbers we sit here today.
Mm-hmm.
162. What does that number mean?
The amount of games in a baseball season, of course.
It's also the amount of outs left until the Yankees get a parade. I like that.
You did some good math there.
Right.
Did you use a calculator or did you count it yourself?
I don't do a Texas Instrument, man. All in the brain.
Yeah, right.
No shot.
I went right to my phone. I was like, 27 times 6.
Damn right you did. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And you may have heard that John Sterling went to town on the New York Yankees' bad base running. You'll get to hear how it got built up to the point where John was so angry. Plus, what did Aaron Boone have to say about that?
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.